former first lady is politically related, is basically saying that anybody who might have committed a crime because, or is alleged to have committed a crime because he's affiliated to the former president or affiliated to the former party in government, should not be arrested over allegations of crime committed?
Listen, Ms. Akinde's first act when he became president was to pass a law by way of an statutory instrument to have the police and other law enforcement agencies to fall directly under his office. And every morning they go to report to him. And he's the one giving them instructions on who they should arrest at a given time. And willy-nilly, the police are having difficulties to even respond professionally because the commander-in-chief is the one who is saying, can you arrest that one? And he doesn't even want to hear any professional advice. The police themselves are the ones telling us that we are tired. Even his own tribal cabal within the police, the people who come from his village, are also getting tired. The overzealousness that they were exhibiting 2 years ago has weaned down because they have been made to do wrong things consistently and a president who is paranoid. This arrest of the former president is a directive from Isaka and Hichilema.
Supporters of the UPND are accusing the Patriotic Front of hypocrisy because the wife of former President Rupia Banda was interrogated and arrested, investigated, and some of his family members, they said, put under a lot of pressure and stress by the PF government. So why are you complaining when there's a legitimate accusation or allegations against the former first lady? Investigations are being done. She was arrested and released while the police conclude their investigation.
Wow. First of all, we've had the precedent that I expected to be a lesson for them. We had the former president in Chiluba investigated, taken to court, and it was found that he was innocent. We had Rupia Banda, and yes, the former first lady, the wife of Rupia Banda, at some point investigated over floods, and it was found that she was innocent. So based on those two precedences, we don't expect that the UPND will stoop so low and be so foolish to do the same thing, expecting the same results. We expect that they'll be wise enough to learn from two examples and this time around do something better. So if the UPND are going to continue priding themselves in doing silly things and wrong things because they were done before, then it means that they didn't even qualify to get into government because they got into government on the basis that they promised that it will be different. So if they become well, if we had somebody who was intolerant and then Ms. Akinde Hichilema becomes a dictator, does it justify that we should have a dictator because the one was there who was intolerant? That is a nonsensical argument.
Rafael Nakachinda is a member of the PF Central Committee for Information and Publicity. He spoke with me from the Zambian capital, Lusaka. In Uganda, the leader of the main opposition National Unity Platform, NUP, says the party's ongoing nationwide tour is aimed at encouraging the public to demand an end to President Yoweri Museveni's rule. Parliamentarian Robert Kyagulanyi, popularly known as Bobby Wine, says he needs about 50,000 Ugandans to peacefully engage in demonstrations to demand the end of the president's decades-long rule. His remarks come as he undertakes a nationwide mobilization tour to urge the public to demand that their rights be protected. But supporters of the government condemn Wine, saying his call will create chaos and instability. Instead, they are calling on him to prepare for the next general election. Joel Senyonyi is the spokesperson for the NUP. He tells me that the public reaction to the party's message has been positive and encouraging.
Yes, we embarked on a countrywide tour. I want to reconnect with the people of Uganda. You see, we went through an election which was rigged. We beat Museveni hands down, and he rigged the election, okay? But the people still look up to us for leadership, and so we have to keep connecting with them. And that's why we announced a countrywide tour. It was complicated. In the campaign time, getting to the masses, people were beaten, tear gassed, and so on. But we said we've got to get to the people. And this time around, Mr. Museveni and his regime have really tried to behave. The reason they are behaving and not coming at us, beating our people, and so on, is because we filed a case at the ICC against him, his son and other regime people because of the brutality that happened in the elections and a lot more. So they are scared of touching us. Anyhow, we said regardless what happens, we'll go to the people, and they have been very welcoming, connecting with us, and they still are saying the same thing. They want change and they want it now.
Bobi Wine is on record to have said that part of the tour is to awaken the people to demand the end of President Museveni's rule. Is this an actual fact?
Absolutely. That's something we have not shied away from. That's been our agenda from the word go. That was the agenda before we went into the election. That's our agenda now, because we won that election and they leaked that out. So our rallying call has been the same. Let's do everything we can to see Museveni out of power. Because you see, not only does he rig votes, our healthcare system is in a shambolic state. Our education system is in a shambolic state. Youth unemployment levels are high. The economy is in a pathetic state, you know. Mr. Museveni has been in power coming to 40 years. And now he's lining up this son of his to take over from him as if it's a monarchy. So we are on record saying we want change and we want it now.
But what do you say to those who are of the view that by calling on Uganda, so to speak, to end his rule, you are trying to create chaos, destabilize it, and just like in other countries, this is a call for an unconstitutional overthrow of his administration, which is a cause for a crackdown on supporters and, for that matter, the leadership of the NUP. Your reaction to that?
From the word go, our means for changing government have been legal means. Somebody went to the bush, he killed people, hundreds of thousands of people in Luwero, where we were yesterday, and several other places. Blood was shed for him to come into power. In our case, we have said no, and that's why he went into the election and not to the bush like he did to kill people, okay? So we want change, and that's what we are pushing for, to get him out of power. But all that we do is through the legal, legitimate means as prescribed by the Constitution.
But do you think this nationwide tour will achieve the objective for which you embarked on this strike? And do you think it's feasible at this moment, looking at the prevailing conditions on the ground?
In many ways, you see, for the people to wake up and do what the Constitution, by the way, tells us in Article 3 of our Constitution, to take back their power once it's stolen from them. And that's what really has been happening. And so what we are doing is to wake them up. It's not an easy thing, okay, because of the brutality and so on. But you see, nothing can stop an idea whose time has come. And that's what we are saying. That's what the people are saying. And so we shall not stop until that happens.
Joel Senyonyi is the spokesperson for the NUP. He spoke with me from the Ugandan capital, Kampala. The Voice of America, and you are listening to Nightline Africa. I'm your host, Peter Clotty, in Washington. Coming up in the second half of Nightline Africa Sports with Samson O'Malley, and that will be followed by a commentary by Dr. James Jonah, former UN Undersecretary General for Political Affairs and Music from African Collection. But first, it's now time for Nightline Africa Sports, and for that, let's join Samson O'Malley. Hello, Samson.
Hi, Peter. Good evening, sports fans. Welcome to Nightline Africa Sports. Sean Strickland defeated Nigerian-born Israel Adesanya to become the new UFC middleweight champion of the world, with all judges scoring the fight in his favor at the Kudos Bank Arena in Sydney, Australia. The first round knockdown by the American was the highlight of the fight that went the whole five rounds. All three judges scored the fight 49-46 for the American and new middleweight world champion Strickland. He did it with non-stop pressure and steady upright boxing, never once attempting a grapple. This is Adesanya's third loss, breaking his record to 24-3. Adesanya, in his brief post-match interview, said he lost to a better man.
Win or lose, I wasn't going to say much anyway, but right now, I lost tonight to the better man on the night, and I just want to go with be with people who care about me, my team.
In tennis news, American teenager Coco Gauff came from behind to win the U.S. Open on Saturday, clinching her first Grand Slam title with a battling win over Aryna Sabalenka of Belarus. Gauff produced a gutsy performance at the Arthur Ashe Stadium court to win 2-6, 6-3, 6-2 in 2 hours, 6 minutes to complete a fairy tale transformation in her season's fortunes. The 6th seed from Florida had gone into the final as the underdog against the hard-hitting 2nd seed Sabalenka, who will become world number 1 in next week's rankings. The win completed a remarkable turnaround for Gauff, who was left distraught after a first-round exit at Wimbledon in July.
You know, I don't pray for results. I just ask that, you know, I get the strength to give it my all, and whatever happens, happens. I'm so blessed in this life, so I'm just thankful for this moment. Like, I don't have any words for it, to be honest.
And now to some football news. Three more countries sealed their places at the 2023 Africa Cup of Nations on Saturday as Mozambique secured qualification with a dramatic 95th minute winner. Mozambique sealed their return to the Africa Cup of Nations for the first time since 2010, thanks to a late 3-2 win over Benin in Maputo in Group L. Mauritania and the Democratic Republic of Congo also booked a spot at next year's finals, but there was disappointment for striker Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang as his Gabon side missed out on a place in Ivory Coast. Mauritania qualified for the Africa Cup of Nations for the third time after a dramatic 2-1 victory over Gabon on Saturday. Meanwhile, in the other group match, DR Congo secured their place at the Africa Cup of Nations after a 2-0 home victory over Sudan. The Leopards' new only win will be enough to qualify from Group I. Three spots remain for the AFCON, which kicks off in Ivory Coast on the 13th of January. Staying with the CAF Africa Cup of Nations qualifying matches, CAF has agreed to postpone the match between Morocco and Liberia following the earthquake in Morocco, which resulted in more than 1,000 people losing their lives and hundreds injured. The match was initially scheduled to take place on Saturday in Agadir, Morocco. And that's it for this week's edition of Nightline Africa Sports. Back to you, Peter.
Thanks a lot, Samson. It's always a pleasure to hear from you. We'll link up with you again next Sunday for another look at African sports. Nightline Africa Sports. Now let's take a closer look at Africa, the problems, the prospects in time of conflict, in time of peace. Here's one man's point of view with Dr. James Jonah, former UN Under-Secretary General for Political Affairs. Hello, Dr. Jonah.
Good evening, Africa. Recent coup d'etats in mainly Francophone African countries should concentrate the minds of African leaders and even the general public as to the need for agonizing reappraisal of their current approach to coup d'etats in the African continent. Currently, we know that these institutions have a non-tolerance of coups, and when it occurs, they are weak to suspend the countries and to apply economic sanctions. With respect to the latter, it is now clear that African countries are skeptical to the use of broad-based sanctions that are not targeted to the actual culprits, and they see that the citizens are in the end the victors. The need also is now clear that these actions by the African Union and regional economic organizations have left a large lacuna, and that lacuna may account for either the frequent coups or how Africans react then. What I want to suggest is that Africans, in particular the public, should abandon the mythology that just because an African government is democratically elected, that government may be immune to accountability of the way they have acted during the term of office. The call for periodic election itself does not make that assumption, for this idea bandied around so much in the media and in some official circles. What may be required is for the African Union and the regional economic institutions to look again and see what should be done. By the way, we have to take note of the manner in which the Economic Commission of Central Africa reacted to the coup in Gabon. While Gabon has been suspended, they specifically stated that the use of force would not be entertained. An awareness of the general African position to the use of force, even as regards the result, has called for by ECOWAS. But we have to see whether the African institutions cannot agree that there should be guidelines for proper good acting after being elected, even as democratically elected government. We know, or history is replete with dictators who were elected democratically but turned out to be a burden on the people. And these guidelines should raise accountability when elected African countries drift away from democratic principles. Right now, the European Union has these guidelines, and they use it from time to time to call on those governments within the Union that are not applying the democratic principles. For example, attempts to mask or destroy the judiciary or to brutalize the population. Of course, the African Union does not have the carrot and sticks steps will the Europeans have in dealing with those who have not acted properly? But they could figure out a way to do that. If this kind of reappraisal is not undertaken urgently, then we can see the time of ambivalence in African attitude to coups. And let me say also that the fact that we see when coups occur, like in Zimbabwe, when Mugabe was overthrown by the military, or now in Niger and Gabon, people coming out in the streets jubilating, we should not interpret it that these were all organized. They don't. They do represent the genuine ambivalence of African people to coups which are non-violent. I thank you.
That was Wama's point of view, a commentary by Dr. James Jonah, former UN Undersecretary General for Political Affairs. It's Sunday on Nightline Africa, and this is the time we get to relax and reflect, a flashback with music from the continent.
It's Masterell on the beat, baby.
It's money since I was 13. Tried to be rich before 30. Got a billion in my mind. No one can stop me. Cause I'm a hustler. I'm a hustler. I'm a hustler. I'm a hustler. I work hard every day. 9 to 5 just to get my daily break. Pray hard every day. Asking God to bless my way. Troubles may come my way. Trials may come my way. But I keep on doing my thing. Nothing will knock me down, down, down. Nothing will knock me down. Depuis le berceau, je visais très haut. Connu dans le réseau pour mes raisons. Gala dans la saison, j'ai pris mes décisions. Moi je veux l'argent pour cette saison. Cause I'm a hustler. I'm a hustler. I'm a hustler. I'm a hustler. You never give up. Even though things are hard for you. Keep your head up. You know one day God will come through. Troubles may come my way. Trials may come my way, but I keep on doing my thing. Nothing will knock me down, down, down. Nothing will knock me down. I work hard every day. 9 to 5 just to get my daily bread. Pray hard every day. Asking God to bless my way. Cause I'm a hustler. I'm a hustler. I'm a hustler. I'm a hustler. Troubles may come my way. Trials may come my way. But I keep on doing my thing. Nothing will knock me down.
We're flavor,
my original root boy, Mr. Flavor, for the dancer, alongside Julia and D. Oyolima, Daniel, Liberia, another one.
Masterclass on the beat. organize for me.
Mufupi ulo mutali ni mukazi. Opunzira usapunzira ni mukazi. Maringa chabe ni ulangitwa.
Love and respect to all the women.
Rani.
Ogarix one, my younger brother. The music teacher is here. Kent, me, as a
teacher.
Our Sunday music spot. Hope you enjoy the music from Nightline Africa here at the English service of the Voice of America in Washington. Nightline Africa comes to you from the English service of the Voice of America. Hope you enjoy the program tonight. As you know by now, we are on Saturdays and Sundays at 16 and 18 hours UTC. From the Nightline Africa team, including producer Nicole Peters, we say thanks for joining us. And remember, as the elders say, even the lion, the king of the forest, protects himself against flies. I'm your host, Peter Clote, in Washington. Good evening, Africa.